humans create these things for perhaps with one idea of what they mean, but they often mean all sorts of other things when they're actually put into action. Take silk, for example. In the cultural linguistic term, silk, why does silk feel nice? Well, you're taught to feel that it's nice. But just on a sort of instinctive level, most of us would push back on that. And they would say, well, wait a minute. But it does feel nice, right? Mm-hmm. Has a biological element. Well, if language now is understood as emerging from feelings and emotions and touch, so the word silky that appears, or variants that appears in all sorts of languages, it's not that that's sort of an abstract concept that people came up with to describe something, but rather it sort of emerges from that engagement with the thing in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So that kind of gives a different spin, I think, on the linguistic term than we previously had. I think if you take these ideas seriously, microbiome, extended cognition, and these theories that are sort of rising up around our understanding of the material world, if you take them seriously, it really is a very different idea of what it means to be human, and that we need to turn towards the earth rather than think so much about abstract higher worlds. This is the world that has made us, and it's a creative world. It's a truly an extraordinary place, and that we haven't given it enough credit, I think, or appreciation. You can't say that there was something special about the United States or Germany or Western Europe that allowed them to have an outsized share of the world's resources to this day, of course. But rather, they just were lucky. It's a gift. And therefore, there's a strong sort of political, economic subtext here that says we can't claim those things for ourselves. They have to be shared much more widely. So I think it does change the way I look at the world and the way I act in the world. I like to think about how the things you do shape the way you feel and act. I was in Munich last fall for several months, and they have these bicycles that you can borrow and ride around. And as you mentioned, I'd lived in Munich before in 2011, 2012, but then we had a car. We took a car everywhere, or we took the mass transit, the U-Bahn and so forth. But this time I had a bike. And I realized just in a really deep way how different my understanding of the city was with a bicycle, how much more embedded I was in the world. And just that shift in Munich kind of showed me how maybe even little things can make a big difference in the way we understand the world. The reality of what we face now is becoming so apparent, and it is really quite frightening to think about, this almost apocalyptic vision of 50 or 100 years from now. And there's a sort of tendency to throw up your hands and say, this problem is so massive, there's nothing I can do. But what I would say as a neo-materialist, it's not so much that riding the bike uses less carbon, but rather a different point. That riding the bike changes the way you think and feel and act just because of your experience of that particular materiality. And that is more powerful than the change in carbon output that would result from that. Our cultural ideas, our inventions, our technologies emerge from not so much just our creative mind, but a creative world. And I do want to resist any rush to sort of put the Marian steam shovel or the drag line into the unnatural category as a means of criticizing that. Because I think that's counterproductive and it's wrong too. I don't really care whether you want to call it natural or unnatural or anthropogenic. The question I think we should ask is, does it make us better people? And does it make us the kind of people that we want to be?